Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
To bring another voice into this conversation, Ambassador Michael McFaul joins us now from Stanford, California. He's former U.S. ambassador to Russia during the Obama administration, and he's professor of political science at Stanford University as well. Ambassador McFaul, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
So what's your take on this? I'm going back to this joint statement today because it is a rare coming together of the four heads of state, four leaders of different Western countries issuing a blanket condemnation of Russia for this poisoning of the former spy. Is it a positive step forward in a coordinated response?
Yes, I think it is. I'm impressed by it. I'm glad they did it. By the way, the statement doesn't have any of the ambiguity that we've been talking about right now.
Right.
In terms of who did it, they're very much pointing at the Russian government. That may be an error. I mean, we may, you know, if evidence would to contradict that appears, that they may have to change that. But I think if the Russian government wasn't behind this, the logical thing for them to be doing would say, this is outrageous, we condemn this attack. And we look forward to working with the intelligence officials in Britain and elsewhere to try to get to the bottom of who did this. They're not saying those things, at least not yet.
Right. I mean, in fact, they're saying very much the opposite, right? I've been seeing Russians saying that this is the West scapegoating the Russia yet again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you wanted to carry out an assassination attempt, tragically, there's many ways that governments can do it without using a nerve agent like was used. And to me, though, that if it's kind of daring the West, you know, this is what we do to traitors. And Vladimir Putin, President Putin, has been very clear about this years before this incident, by the way. He has a very stark, strong, militant view that we will go after all traitors. I've heard him talk about that personally. And then, you know, they put their fingerprints on it by using this particular weapon. So,
Well, so what more then do you think that that Western allies could or should be doing at this point? I mean, we heard Nikki Haley a little while ago calling on greater action from within the United Nations. What should be next steps?
Well, it's hard. And, you know, when I was in the government, we faced these challenges, too, because our instruments of response are pretty limited, right? There's not going to be an Article 5 meeting, a declaration of war against Russia for this incident. There could be an Article 4 declaration, by the way. Article 4 brings NATO together for consultations about security threat. And that's one thing, I think that should happen. That's a signal. But the basic instruments you fall back to, as you've been discussing already on your program, it's about economic sanctions. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't have a lot of other modalities. We have symbolic things, and we have sanctions. I support those who say if Britain wants to get serious in response, there have to be greater economic sanctions. They have to go after those individuals tied to Putin that have business relationships and property inside the UK. And as Sam was just saying, I think particularly on the financial side, you know, the three big Russian banks, Sberbank, VTB, and VEB, they're all government-owned banks. They do a lot of business in the UK. If you wanted to show that you're serious, you would try to shut down their businesses and their what they do inside the UK.
Hmm. Well, let's take a quick call here. Scott is calling from Rapid City, South Dakota. You're on the air, Scott.
Hi, Magna. Short comment. Putin's history of political assassinations give him zero credibility. And I've seen his glib reaction to this. And to me, it gives the whole world a hand gesture. Thank you.
Scott, thank you for your call. Let's turn to Jack, who's calling from Ryan, Iowa. You're on the air, Jack.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say a little confused over what your guest was saying there, whether or not it could be directly tied to Putin. It's obviously Putin. He learned this from the KGB, and he is carrying on the same way. These are the same reasons that we fought the Cold War for these people that will do anything to win, and including killing their adversaries with nerve agents. And I don't think Putin knows he can get away with it because he has for 20 years, and I think he's going to continue.
Jack?
So that's unfortunate, but...
Jack, thank you for your call. Ambassador McFaul, was that you there?
No, but I'm happy
okay.
to respond.
Yeah, go ahead, and then I'll turn to Sam Green.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to underscore just how outrageous this behavior is. And again, the caveat, maybe it wasn't Putin, and if there's new evidence, we have to reconsider that hypothesis. But if you think about the means that they used, which is traced back to Russia, and the motive, you know, who is in the Venn diagram that has the motive and means to kill this 66-year-old pensioner living in Salisbury? By the way, I was part of the team that swapped him out of Russia back in 2010. And, you know, that was an explicit thing. We're going to get our people out and we're going to send your people back and case closed. Obviously, Putin had, well, maybe not obviously, but it seems to me that Putin had a different view of that. But let's underscore something. This may be worse than the Cold War, in that Vladimir Putin kind of defies the international system. I mean, if you add it all up, annexation in Ukraine, that didn't happen for the last decades of the Cold War. Happened during Stalin. It didn't happen in the latter part of the Cold War. Meddling in American elections. That did not really happen in the Cold War. And now this attempt, you know, this is a rogue state right now that is defiant of the entire international system. It seems to me we have to get our heads around that one more, well, let's just try to get along and engage and maybe Putin will come around. I think those kinds of strategies have to be rethought now.
Yeah. Sam Green, go ahead.
Yeah, I think your callers make a very important point, which is the credibility issue. Right? If we were in a different era, in a different time, I think that some of the calls that you're hearing from some quarters, not all quarters, but some quarters in Moscow saying, look, let's wait for the evidence to play out, would resonate a lot more. But after the denials around the Litvinenko case, after the denials around Crimea, the presence of or non-presence of Russian troops in eastern Ukraine, the denials around the downing of MH17, there is no benefit of the doubt in the minds of certainly the British public, I think most Western publics, and at this point Western governments as well. People have lost patience with denials that turn out not to be true.
Yeah. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Ambassador McFaul, let me turn back to you for a second, because I just want to take a tiny tangent here, since you mentioned that you were part of the team that helped engineer the swap that that led to Sergei Skripal's arrival in the UK. I mean, his backstory is kind of amazing, right? He's a former officer from Russia's GRU military intelligence unit. He started working for MI6, in 1995, was arrested in the early 2000s and convicted of treason and sent to a penal colony in Russia. And so when after this swap happened, he lived a relatively open life in the UK, didn't he?
To the best of my knowledge, yeah. I haven't been in touch with him since 2010.
Well, but, I guess the reason why I asked that, Ambassador, is that it's another one of those strange aspects of this case that he didn't feel like he had to hide, that he had served his time, and yet he ends up, you know, comatose on a park bench in Salisbury, poisoned by a Russian nerve agent.
Exactly. And from our point of view, you know, you just listed what's in the public domain. I'm not going to talk about that. But I want to remind everybody that we did a swap. We sent out a dozen Russian spies out of our country. We did not arrest them. We did not put them in jail for 30 years. Some people wanted to, by the way, in our government. And that a deal's a deal, right? Nobody's going after them inside Russia today. I just think it's just completely outrageous what happened to this gentleman. And his daughter, by the way, his daughter, by all means, is innocent. The hundreds of people that were affected in Salisbury, they're innocent. There has to be a very strong response to this, because I think it's a really audacious thing it just shows that there's no limits to what the Kremlin
will do to that.
Mm. Sam Green, we have a comment here from a listener on Facebook. Felix Herzog is asking, is the expulsion of Russian diplomats good for Russia? Not really, but it doesn't change a whole lot of anything either. Felix strongly encourages the UK to adopt something along the lines of the Magnitsky Act. And given the UK's influence on financial markets, that just might sting Putin a good bit. But he doubts they're willing to go so far, given the risk that it could be to affecting the UK's energy supply from Russia. What's your thought on that idea?
Well, I mean, the UK has the ability to diversify its energy supply. I don't think that would be the primary consideration. I do think people will be looking at what they can do on financial markets. There is a very loud and boisterous conversation about the presence of Russian, and frankly not just Russian, but of corrupt money coming from overseas into UK asset markets, particularly London real estate, but not only London real estate. And there are very good domestic reasons to want to solve that problem, right? To want to increase transparency, to keep dirty money out, to make those markets function better, right? And there are good reasons to go after the Russian aspect of that as well. I am somewhat skeptical that would have much of an impact on Moscow's behavior. It certainly would hurt a lot of people, including some people directly in the government. But what's happened in Russian politics in the last several years, really since Crimea, has dramatically increased Putin's leverage over his own elite. Mm. So I think what would do something effective would require a more systematic sort of state-based approach. Right.
Well, we're heading into the break here, and Ambassador Michael McFaul, I know I've got to let you go. Ambassador McFaul is former U.S. ambassador to Russia during the Obama administration. He's also author of the forthcoming book, From Cold War to Hot Peace, An American Ambassador in Putin's Russia. Ambassador McFaul, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
We are talking about the international response and what's next when it comes to the evolving story of the poisoning of a former Russian spy in the UK. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.